Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're glad you're here today. We're getting ready to minister to you directly, but indirectly, we're going to minister to a listening audience by radio this morning. We're grateful for WMAF. We're grateful for being able to broadcast over WMAF, and we're grateful for a listening audience in Madison, North Florida, and surrounding area, which would include South Georgia. And we're grateful for the internet. Praise God. That who said he invented the internet? And he got a lot of flack. He alluded to that. He didn't really mean it. Dan Quayle, Al Gore. That's right. It wasn't Dan Quayle. He's the good guy. Al Gore. That's right. He's the one that said that. Or some illusion, but we're glad for whoever invented the internet. Amen. And we're glad that we can be on the internet and thereby go to nations of the world and not just minister here in our little nook of the world. Praise God. Amen. So we're happy for all of you that are listening by computer as the gospel of Jesus Christ streams wherever the Lord wants to send it. Praise God. And we're talking about a subject of overcoming. And it's more important, I believe, in this last day generation than in any previous generation. It's never not been important. But I believe there are times when certain biblical principles and circumstances are even more vital and important. And I believe we're living not in the last days anymore. I'm convinced we're living in the last of the last days. If you want to get really technical theologically, the last days began when... After the day of Pentecost, we entered into what they were in the last days. They all acknowledged it, amen, that they believed they were living in the last days. And I want to just let you know this, that a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is a day, and 2,000 years like 2 days of the last days. How do you know we're getting down to the end of it? Because the prophecies are very clear that one great event after the scattering of Israel to the nations of the world would mark the last of the last days. One great event. And that is, in 1948, a group of people walked before the United Nations. I was born in 1947. So this is inclusive in my generation. And how many were born after 1948? Bunch of young whippersnappers in here this morning. Young people full of vim and vinegar. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, you're in the generation, a specific generation in Bible prophecy. Amen. When you see the fig tree Israel was no nation. Most contested piece of land is a little piece of land about the size of New Jersey. Amen. In the Middle East called Israel. From one to another owner until 1948, when an entourage went before the United Nations and asked for autonomy to become a nation. And when they did, it became what I call, and what many prophecy teachers call, a domino effect. When that domino fell, it sets into circumstantial events that will keep on going until the coming of Jesus Christ. You ever seen them set up the dominoes? In all these different intricate patterns, and they tip one, and then the whole thing follows the pattern they've set up. Well, the tipping of this one spiritual event set in motion other things that are happening now very quickly. I'm amazed at how quick those things run when you set the one that hits one, it hits another, hits another, hits another. When you see the fig tree put forth her leaves again after being dead all of those years, amen, you know, amen, that we're in the last of the last days. So in 1948, and then it said something else that I think is quite extraordinary. It said that generation that sees that event shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. So I'm looking for the coming of Jesus Christ in my generation. If I live out my days, my dad is 91. He told me, he said, you know, people are living to be 120. And he saw me bringing that refrigerator by myself. And he said, strong as you are, I see no reason why you can't live to be 120 years old. I see not many of you are amening this morning. But I thought it was kind of neat because he's 91. Amen. And he didn't ever work out. Hallelujah. Amen. And he loves the fat. You talk about eat the fat and drink the sweet? That's my daddy. Amen. He likes all the fatty stuff. He don't like white meat. He's a dark meat man. Amen. He don't like lean bacon. He doesn't like lean bacon. He likes the bacon that's got the big thick. Anybody else like that? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He likes the bacon. If you're going to eat bacon, make sure it's really bacon, right? He loves all the fatty part. There's a part, a little fatty thing off a chicken back at the bottom end, the tail, little fatty thing that you throw away. He don't throw that away, he says. That's good. Amen. And he's 91 years young. And I'm getting ready to take him back to his hometown and where I was born in Middlesboro, Kentucky. In October, November, we're getting ready to take a trip and let him go back one more time and show me, Frog Level. It's a little place in Kentucky called Frog Level. And he wants to take me back in some hollers. You city folk don't know what a holler is. It's a valley, amen, that's hollowed out, but they call it a holler. And he's going to show me some places. He said, we'll go down in the holler. And I thought, let's go. Praise God. Amen. I want to take him on that trip before he goes to heaven. And God has been good to him with all the fat. He'd take two great big tablespoons of peanut butter. He'll fill a blender with ice cream, two things of peanut butter, pour it with chocolate syrup and whole milk. And a lot of times to get his protein, he'll crack an egg and put in there, raw egg, that you're not supposed to eat right now. Yeah, ooh. And turn it on, chug it down. That's just a snack, you understand. That's not to replace a meal. But the thing I'm getting at, I'm in a generation that can honestly be called the last day generation. I'm in a generation that the Bible specifically says there will be signs in the culture, and that's what most prophecy teachers and in the world that we live in, a world church is coming, and the things you're seeing right now between Islam and Christianity and the controversy over mosque here and there, that's part of the beginning of a world church forming, because we are going to have religions consolidate in the sense that they're going to maintain a certain amount of their own integrity, saying there's many, and this is going to sound good to the world and to many parts of the compromised church, that there are many roads, but they all lead to the same God. And whether you call him Allah or Jehovah, it doesn't matter. Well, if you're a Christian and you get in your Bible, it matters a great deal. Amen. Jesus claimed something that he had the right to claim, because without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. And if he was not raised from the dead, the Bible said, though he went to the cross, we are still in our sins. Amen. So he said there's one, the scripture declares, and if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to either take it or leave it, because you can't mess with it. Because if you mess with it, the Bible said, amen, if you start taking things out of this word, your name is going to be blotted out of the book of life. And if you add things to this word, the scripture said that the plagues that are listed that will come as the last day judgment will be added to you. So if you're going to be a Christian, you got to let the Bible alone. You got to let it stand in its place of absolute authority. You can't play with it to be socially acceptable or politically correct. If you're going to be a Christian, you've got to take your stand as a Christian. And that don't mean you hate everybody else. It means you love everybody. But you don't compromise your faith in the name of loving people. They're not going to compromise theirs to love you. Thank you. Amen. But a world church is going to come on the scene. A world leader is going to come on the scene. A false prophet is going to come on the scene. And he's going to try to mimic the miracles of the Bible. Remember Elijah called fire down out of heaven? This man is going to call fire down out of heaven to confirm himself. And the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to work together to bring a world government through world religion. But then he's going to turn against world religion and try to destroy it, because he doesn't want anyone but himself being elevated to God-like level. And we'll study that sometime. The scripture I want to deal with today has to do with overcoming. And I'm talking to people living in the last day that are marked according to Jesus. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? In Matthew's gospel, he said in Matthew 24, 11 and 12, he said, many false prophets shall go out into the earth and deceive many. Amen. That's a sign in the church, isn't it? That's a religious sign. Amen. Not a political or economic. This is what's happening in the church. Many false prophets. What What is disconcerting to me when I read that, we're talking about masses, many. We're talking about this not as a prediction from a preacher or a prophecy. This is the word of the Lord from Christ Himself. Many false prophets. If there's ever a day you need to check out doctrine and not just follow personality, this is the day. Can you say amen? Our concept of the devil usually is the red jumpsuit, the horns, the tail, and the pitchfork. If you saw me in the pulpit with horns, I've been called things before like that, but feel, there's no horns here. Can you say amen? I'm standing up for God's truth today. And believe me, the devil's not going to do that and exposing him. Listen, if we saw that, we wouldn't listen no matter what they were saying. Amen? Doesn't matter what they were saying, but when you wear a nice suit and tie and a big smile, and you seem so loving and so kind, amen, then it's a whole different world. And so much of Christianity today, particularly in America, are following a personality instead of the person of Jesus Christ. And you have to get committed to the Word of God. The Bible said it's no marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light. You know why it's no marvel? Because in the Old Testament, he was called that anointed cherubim, seraphim or cherubim that walked up and down in the coals of God. Amen. He was a high-ranking angel. Bible said of him, and it's kind of a difficult to interpret scripture, that pipes were formed in him from the day he was created. Amen. And it seems like he was part and parcel of leading the worship and praise in the very presence of the throne room of God. And he said, I want to be like the Most High. And he was so persuasive that a third, according to the book of Revelation, when the dragon fell with his tail, he drew a third of the stars of heaven with him. So a third of the angels fell when he fell. And that's a whole lot of spirits loose down here on this earth. Can you say amen? So it's no marvel. Satan was good at it. We don't know how many eons of time, because they don't mark time like we do here. There's no sunrise, sunset, 24-hour day in heaven. Amen. But when he got corrupted, he knows how to mimic. He knows how to portray light when he really is an agent of darkness. And the only way to tell when he's at work is to have a real foundation in the Word of God. Because Paul said, even if an angel, everybody say an angel. And I'm not talking about some ugly looking angel. I'm talking about one that's bright and shining and glittering. But if he brings you another gospel, let him be anathema. It's the strongest word for God's judgment that there is in all of Scripture, anathema. Let him be cursed of God. Why? Because it will cause souls to be damned to hell for eternity because of a doctrine that promises them salvation but doesn't give them the truth that could save them. Can you say amen? And let me tell you this about the devil, the enemy of our souls and your soul today. Listen, he would rather have a false gospel in the world than he would to have atheism. Because atheism hasn't served him well down through the years. They had atheism and Marxism in Russia. But a mighty revival took place a few years ago because of the spiritual vacuum that atheism created. In China, they were taught atheism and Marxism from the day they are born. But there is a mighty Holy Ghost-driven revival of people coming to Christ in China. The statistics about a year ago was that it is estimated that 20,000 people a day are coming to know Jesus in China. 20,000 a day. No wonder the persecution has begun and is hitting hard against the church in China. And the church is having to go underground, but is still thriving, praise God. Hallelujah. And the high-ranking officials in the government in China says we've got to kill the baby while he's still in the manger. That means we've got to stop this Christian faith while it's in its embryonic stage. But you can't stop what God has started. If God is in it, if it's driven by the Holy Ghost, you can't stop what God has started. You can drive people underground and drive them to having secret meetings, but you can't stop the move of God. The gospel will have its impact when the Holy Spirit is involved in it, praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm grateful to hear these reports. I'm grateful to hear of the mighty revival in South Vietnam. You know, we're sitting here in our little corner of the world with a lot of religiosity in America, and we're not seeing the real move of God. We're looking for it. We run here, we run there, we run there. But where God is really worshipped and really committed to and the truth is really proclaimed, amen, signs and wonders that rival anything in this book are taking place. On Moody Radio, and I'm so glad when testimonies come of Pentecostal power through a non-Pentecostal organization, because there's no bias or embellishment there. But Moody Radio recognized all the people coming to Jesus and heard of the revival in South Vietnam. So they called a man that had recently come back from South Vietnam, and he was a missionary from Hong Kong, Dr. Wong from Hong Kong. You've heard of Word Association? I always remember his name, because he's Wong from Hong Kong. They had him on Moody Radio, non-Pentecostal. And you know what? They asked him, they said, "What is happening? What is happening?" And this is not charisma. This is not a broadcast for some Pentecostal or charismatic. This is a strict, fundamental, evangelical Moody. And they said, "What is happening in South Vietnam? Tell us what is taking place. What is God doing in South Vietnam?" He said, "Well, the first thing is there is no big central church there because of the persecution." But he said they meet in houses all over South Vietnam. If you lost someone in the Vietnam War that we didn't win, I want you to know the gospel was planted while we were fighting that war. The gospel was seeded into South Vietnam during the Vietnam conflict. And God is still working there in a mighty way. He said, "There are house meetings." Look around here today. This is what is happening on Sunday morning in South Vietnam, all over. He said, "There's thousands of them, but they're meeting in small groups of 25 to 50. Somebody say, "Glory to God." Amen. And here's what else he said. He said, the miracles of the book of Acts. Said, there's nothing that happened, whether it be casting out of devils, whether it be someone being healed of the lame that never could walk, said there's no miracle in the book of Acts that isn't being replicated in those house meetings when they pray and believe on Jesus in South Vietnam. Somebody give God praise today. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's starting to happen here where people look to God and believe Him. My son's liver was healed. My dad had aggressive, non-treatable, except to prolong the inevitable, prostate cancer just a few years ago. Amen. In an advanced stage. And God healed my dad until the doctor that was treating him told him, "If I didn't know you had prostate cancer, I would never believe that you had ever had prostate cancer." He wasn't supposed to live two more years, and he's lived all of these years. He's 91 and cancer-free because God is still on the throne. Can you say amen? So if your thing is just to go to church and go through the motions, you need to get in touch with the living reality of a living God. In the last of the last days, we don't need mere religious routine and ritual. We need the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. What is going to set the Christian faith apart from the world religions? Demonstration of spirit and power. You can't do it by the empty tomb in Jerusalem. It's a 2,000-year-old thing. You can't convince a gainsaying world. In fact, they can't guarantee wherever you go to Israel that that's the place. They think it was. There's a lot of things that say it probably was, but you can't say it absolutely was. It's been over 2,000 years. Everybody say over 2,000 years. And after the disciples were convinced that Jesus was raised, nobody made a pilgrimage to the empty tomb to prove anything. Thank you for the hearty amens. Nobody did. Nobody went there to prove anything. Again, say, listen, they didn't believe he was raised from the dead when they looked in the empty tomb back then. Amen. You know what the story they concocted? Remember what they said when he was gone? And there was no excuse, and the soldiers said, "We saw an angel, and we swooned, and we don't know what happened after that." They said the disciples said in this book, they said the disciples came and stole his body. Isn't that incredible? He set the stone, this huge stone, and sealed it with the seal, and set two armed seasoned guards to guard it. As if the disciples overpowered them. Amen. When actually an angel came. But you can't convince a gainsaying world by that. Well, how do you convince a gainsaying world? A man got healed at a gate called Beautiful. He sat and he begged because he knew Christians are generous. So he sat and he begged. He never had walked in his life, and he would beg for alms, and they would give him something. And Peter and John came down, according to the book of Acts, and as they walked along, they saw this man begging, and they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I thee." And taking him by the wrist and lifting him up, he said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And the man took off for the temple to give God the glory. Isn't it good he went to the house of worship to give God the glory instead of becoming a groupie of Peter? Amen. Can you say amen? Is it okay to say that? We got too many groupies following evangelists when they ought to be in God's house giving God who healed them the glory. The prayer of faith saves the sick, but who raises them up? Who raises them up? James 5:14 said, if you get truly healed, God did it. Amen. Somebody prayed the prayer of faith. Somebody was anointed. But let me tell you, that guy's anointing didn't heal you, because if he didn't pray in the name of Jesus, the anointing can't do anything. So when it's done, it's the Lord that heals you. And it's the Lord that gets the glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God don't want you hooked up to an anointed servant of his. He wants you hooked up to him. Make no mistake about it. Praise God. We're determined to give God the glory for everything he does. And I give God glory for healing my daddy. I'm so glad it's not just happening in South Vietnam. I'm glad it's happening in South Plant City. Can you say amen? I'm glad God delivered my son from 28 years of alcoholism. 28 years. Twice. Locked up because he threatened suicide. Twice in the hospital for alcohol poisoning. Addicted, not one day in 28 years without having to drink every night of his life to go to sleep. Drink until he was inebriated. Every night for 28 years. And when God set him free, amen, he didn't even take the medication the doctor gave him. Isn't there a scripture that said, whom the Son sets free? How about Jesus? You know who the Son is today? Yes. Amen. If God does it, if God does it, if God does it, hallelujah, it's a done deal. It's done supernaturally, praise God. We're in the last days, and I believe God wants to distinguish himself from the gods who are no gods. Amen. By healing and by delivering and by setting free and by saving, praise God. Jesus said, I'm anointed to set the captive free, hallelujah, to set at liberty those that are bruised. And when my son called and said, Dad, because they dried him out twice and he went right back to it. Amen. But while he was drying out, he became sick. He shook. They had to hold him down one time because he was shaking so bad with delirium tremors from the body being so dependent on alcohol. He said, Dad, I kept waiting for it to come, but it never came. Hallelujah. 28 years and God set him free, praise God. Hallelujah. Instantly, completely, absolutely. And about 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, he celebrated 6 months of sobriety. Amen. And he said, Dad, I can walk down an aisle of a grocery store and this big wine rack and this big beer aisle, and I'm not even tempted by it. Praise God. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. I got news for Dr. Wong in Hong Kong. Revival is not just for South Vietnam. God wants to send revival to his church in America. And I've got a prophetic word for you today. I'm not the prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I'm a pastor, hallelujah, and an evangelist when I get on the radio. But I'm going to tell you something. I know the Spirit of God, and I know what he's saying to the church. The great revival God wants to send to America is not going to come through an individual that the spotlight is going to be on, because every time that's happened, it's failed. It's fizzled. It stopped. I believe it's going to come just like it's happening in South Vietnam, just like it's happening in China, just like it's happening in Russia. House to house, person to person. Christians gathering together, because when two or more what? Great, anointed, world-renowned evangelists come together in my name. Is that what the Bible said? When great ones come together with grand anointings, God's going to show up? No, he said you. Everybody say us. When two or more of you. Everybody say moi. I learned that from Miss Piggy. I got my French from Miss Piggy. Can you say amen? Moi, you and me. How many Christians do we have in here? We got more than two, right? He says if two or more of you, you Christians, you believers, you come together in whose name? In the name of that evangelist or this pastor? No, in the name of who? The one who saved you. God's Son and your Savior, Jesus Christ. What does he do? He reciprocates again, doesn't he? We come together in his name. He said, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. Amen. Does that just mean that he's here? We don't sense him. We don't see him. He don't manifest himself. He's impotent. He don't do anything. No, he's here. God is here. Praise God. I love the Old Testament when God declared his presence. Amen. I love it. He wants to do that. Isaiah 58, he said, if you will take away from the midst of you the putting forth of the finger, amen, and if you will quit doing your thing on my day, thank you for the hearty amen. Oh, Brother Rebel, we're not under the Old Testament Sabbath. No, we are following, amen, the New Testament pattern that Christians decided we are going to sanctify a day. Not because the law says to, but because the love for God, amen, has caused us to want to let the whole world know that there's a day that we're going to honor our God. Not because of the legalism of the law, but because of the love we have for him and the reverence in our heart. And they called it Sunday, and I spell it S-O-N. Because if you want to know about all this other stuff, there was Sunday because of those who worship the sun. Amen. There's other days that have to do with the zodiac. So many people that read their Bible just a little, but boy, they wouldn't miss their horoscope for anything. I saw them at work. You know, they barely know their Bible, but they know. They said, what are you? I said, what do you mean, what am I? They said, what are you? What sign were you born under? And every time I said the cross, it turned them off. Because they wanted to know whether I was an Aquarius or whether I was a, what is it, a Taurus? Or whether, you know, they wanted to know because they were looking in there to see what kind of day they were going to have. So they said, what sign were you born under? I said, the cross. They said, well, don't you want to know your horoscope? I said, don't need to know what the stars are in relation to me. I know who where the sun is in relation to me. I'm a Christian. I walk under ladders every time I get a chance. If you got a ladder set up, I don't go around it. I go walking. I call black cats so I can pet them. Amen. You don't blend superstition with this. You know what God told them in the Old Testament? Stand now, therefore. In Isaiah 47, with the stargazers, amen, stand with those that are telling you how it's going to be by reading the stars, and stand with your stargazers. If they can save you, you let them be your savior, but you can't have me and them. You got to make a choice. You can't blend this. Amen. Stand with your monthly prognosticators. Who are they? People telling you, amen, through that, how your day's going to be, how your life's going to be. It's time to come out of your shell. It's time to blossom like the beautiful flower that you are. Go out and shine today for great things. Oh, baloney. It's all baloney. Amen. You know what it says on all those people, those psychics on television? You know what it says in the fine print to keep them from legal responsibility? It says the truth about them. For entertainment value only. And it says it so quick they don't want you to read it. But they want to be able to freeze it in a courtroom on that. As part of the advertisement. But why is it entertainment? Because it ain't real, darling. Amen. This is not for entertainment value. This is real. Praise God. Can you say, man, my dad's healing's for real? Because he's here today. Praise God. And he's cancer free. And they didn't cure him because they couldn't. My poor old dad went in and sat down. The doctor looked at him and said, how long do you want to live, Mr. Venable? He said, long as I can. He said, well, this is an aggressive cancer, and we can't cure it, but we can try to slow it down a little bit to let you prepare literally to die. Amen. But God stepped in, and God healed him. And God didn't heal him because he's a man of great faith. He's just like every other Christian. I love what it says about Elijah, who called that fire down out of heaven. Can you say amen? And God, amen. The God that answered by fire showed up. I love what the Bible said about him in the New Testament. It said Elijah was subject to like passions as we are. Everybody say me. Elijah had all the human failures and fallacies and fears of anybody else. But he prayed. But he prayed. Now, if it didn't say he was just like us, we probably think we could never be like him. But the Bible said he was like y'all and me. But he prayed. How many believe you can pray? How many believe in a prayer answering God? How many believe the power is not in he who prays, but in the God who answers? Can you say amen? If God answers the prayer, you can't take credit for what happens. I think God's tired of people talking about their faith and their power. I love what Peter and John said after that guy was healed. And they called him before the council and said, by what authority did you heal this man? You're doing it outside the auspices of the Sanhedrin, and the church is real upset that anybody does anything without their permission. They said, remember the man that you put on the tree? Whom God has raised from the dead, said through faith in his name, not faith in our faith, our ability, our anointing, but the authority of his name. Amen. Amen. This man stands before you whole. And then they said, why look upon us? That by our power or our holiness, this man is made whole. Can you say amen? We're looking at people today because of their anointing. And they said it's not because of our anointing. It's because of his great mighty name and the authority that's in his name. Amen. Can you say amen? For God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name that is named of things in heaven. That means every angel honors his name. And things in earth, they don't do it yet, but a day is coming that every knee is going to bow and every tongue without exception is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. And of things beneath the earth, believe me, there are no doubters in hell. I'm talking about demons, Satan and his minions. There's not a demon that doubts that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Jesus didn't cast them out like people do today. Amen? No, he didn't. He didn't argue with them. He told them, shut up and come out. He didn't talk with them for 2 hours, get their name, address, zip code, and social security number. Can you say amen? He didn't do that. Amen. Didn't need all of that information. There's some things that people have told me, and I've said, that's way too much information. You know, I had the flu, and then they went into details. Way too much information. Been there, done that myself. You don't have to tell me in detail. Amen? Septic tank backs up. Way too much information. Way too much. I understand. Just you can stop with it backed up. I can see the rest. Amen. Isn't that right, Sister Dale?
Yes, sir.
They got a bad septic tank. God teaches them humility every so often.
Oh, yeah.
Dale gets her house looking good, gets it clean, gets all that lace around, you know, that makes it feminine looking, enjoys it, gets it all, you know, nice and smells good. And then all of a sudden it rains like this and water seeps in, and that sucker backs up, and it comes over, and it comes into everything. And bless Dale's heart. Every time I hear about that, I say, that's her thorn in the flesh right there. Amen. We're praying. Amen. We're praying. This is the other one. Anyway, that's her son, by the way, and I got one of these myself. Amen. But God is at work in our son's lives. And God saved this guy. Amen. There was a day he wasn't saved. And he went through an interim. Amen. And I don't even want to know. It's way too much information. Can you say amen? But I know by just what he's alluded to that it's way too much information. But God got a hold of him. And God saved him. And God transformed him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's still happening. Then when God healed my son's liver from the damage that 28 years had done. passing blood, hepatitis. He had it in his mind, the way the doctor talked, maybe 6 months to live. As the nurse that attends here, your wife attends here, she said he would never, having that record of alcoholism, even though he's clear now, he would never be on the list for a liver transplant, because they're not going to take a perfectly good liver and give it to someone who's going to go out and destroy it. So he could never even get on a transplant list. Well, he told me, you know what he told me, what I love about this truth that's happening here and now in the postmodern world, not in South Korea, but in South Plant City. Listen, I want you to know, amen, that he said, Dad, if I only live 6 months, I know when I die, I'm going to my king. And he said, I'm going to live alcohol free for these 6 months. He said, I'm not asking God to heal me. Isn't it amazing how we teach faith? You got to get all the, you got to dot the I, you got to cross the T, you got to get it just right for anything to happen. Are you here? This is real. A lot of these crusades, a bunch of it's phony. Amen. People think they are, but it proves out they're not. On, this is real. Amen. You want to get into reality? Or you want to follow the tape set that you have at home? That tape set's not the same as a miracle. Amen? When you need a miracle, you're going to have to get right with God. Amen. Get humble before God and quit giving credit to your faith and give credit to His favor through grace. Amen. I said His favor through grace. Amen. You can't even earn that favor with great faith. There's only one throne to come before. It's called the throne of grace. You say, but God saw my great faith. You know, when great faith is represented in the Scriptures, always in humble dependency. It's only two times Jesus ever used that term. And it ain't about somebody walking out there talking the talk, talking so big and bragging, is it? It was humble dependency. Humble, everybody say humble dependence. What my son was saying is, if I don't live but 6 months, I won't be angry at God. He said, Dad, I did this to myself. My liver's damaged. I knew what I was doing and I knew better. And I have no right to expect anything different. I would like to live, but if I don't, I know where I'm going when I die. What an attitude. And you know what people tell him? You better get in here and get my tape set or you will die. You better learn how to manipulate your life and manipulate God through faith to doing what you want done, or it'll be your own fault. No, that's not how this works. Twice in Scripture, I've taught you this before, I'm going to teach it to you again, because there's so much counter to it. Centurion says, came to Jesus, said, Jesus, I got a servant I love like a son. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. He told him he's dying. He said, I'll come heal him. He said, I'm not worthy. Everybody say humble dependence. I'm not worthy that you should set foot, because he wasn't a Christian. But he honored Jesus and he recognized who he was. And he said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But I'm a man under authority. And I tell men to go and they go, and come and they come. All you have to do is speak the word only. My servant will be healed. And Jesus said this, I have not found faith like this. No, not in all of Israel. Great is thy faith, he told him. And he healed his son just like that. That's a different approach to healing, isn't it? Humble dependency. Now you have to build yourself up into a powerhouse. And you know what that building up does? It lets pride seep in. And when it takes place, you give credit to your faith instead of his favor through grace. And your God, who is the only one that can heal anybody. Apart from him, what are you and I, according to the Scripture in John 15? Apart from him, you can do what? Nothing. You're a hunk of mud. You're a branch off the vine. So everything that we do through the anointing, it's him. We can't take credit for that. We dare not take credit for that. Amen? So a woman comes to him. Oh, by the way, here's what he saw about Jesus. He said, I'm under authority. That's why I have authority. I'm a man under authority, so I have the authority to tell people what to do. And it's coming under his authority that gives us authority. It's not just using his name without bowing to his will. Amen. Everybody say bowing to his will. Jesus said, I don't do anything of myself. Only what I see my Father do. Amen. Totally surrendered to the will of the Father. In his personal life and in how he conducted his ministry. You couldn't demand healing from Jesus. You couldn't make him do what you wanted done. Because he said, unless my Father authorizes it, I don't do anything of myself. Down at the Pool of Bethesda, with his anointing, I would have started a healing line. Hello? How many people got healed down there? Can you say one? I know it goes against the grain of the tapes you're listening to. How many got healed at the Pool of Bethesda? How many did Jesus heal at the Pool of Bethesda? One. Why? Why didn't he just heal them all? Because he said, I don't do anything that my Father don't authorize. Did you know there's not an evangelist came and anointed in the world that could go in St. Jude's Healing Children's Hospital and empty that of all these little children with cancer? Do you realize that? Nobody's ever done it. Nobody ever will do it. Because you can't use God's power arbitrarily. Amen. Are you still here today? Well, I'd like a little better affirmation. I know this goes against the grain. I'm not here to be a cookie cutter of the preachers you listen to or watch on television. Amen? Amen. I challenge that. Amen. You can't go down there and just do what you want done. There's a God that sits in heaven. He's sovereign. He has a will. Amen. And it's not wrong to ask for it to be done in earth as it is in heaven. You say, but maybe his will isn't what I want. So? Is he going to bow to you or are you going to bow to him? Who's in charge? I'm glad it's not me. I've lived long enough to thank God for the prayers he didn't answer. Back when I was burning out, about to have a nervous breakdown, a heart attack, I'm glad he didn't triple the church. You know why? Because I wasn't prepared to handle it. But Brother Bimba, you think you are now? Obviously not. Amen. Hello? He's big enough to send that whole community here next Sunday. Amen. The people who he can touch, not everybody, but you know what I'm saying. We could triple next Sunday. Wouldn't be unusual for God. But I've learned not to try to pry a door open if I can't pray it open. Amen. Everybody. Oh, this is good. You better get a hold of this. If you don't remember nothing else today, say, if I can't pray it open, I'm not going to try to pry it open. If you want that job and you feel like you can glorify God through that job and that job is going to pay all your bills and bring him glory, amen, and you pray about it and the door don't open, don't go over there with no crowbar. Can you say amen? Don't get over there with no crowbar trying to pry it open. He said, I'll open a door. No man can shut it. I'll shut a door. Amen. Amen. Listen, let's go through the doors that God opens. If he does keep that door shut, he's got another one that's in his will. Amen. And if you really get surrendered to him, you want his will in your life. And if you want his will more than your way, you're going to get his will, praise God. Because this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything by faith and don't doubt and confess it. No, if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition we've desired of him. And they did all the liver test on my son and he went back to the doctor. The doctor used God's name 3 times in the prognosis. And he said, your liver is not only functioning, it's functioning above the normal healthy level. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, there is no hepatitis. He said, someday, young man, something will take you out of this world. But if you don't drink anymore, it's not going to be your liver. Amen. And acknowledge the supernatural power of God. Amen. Listen to me. That's not in South Vietnam. That's in South Plant City. God is still on the throne. Amen. You don't have to go to a mission field to see miracles. 2 or more of you gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That was an act of grace on God's part. Not even an act of faith on my son's part. Give credit to the graciousness of God. God didn't have to do that. He didn't owe my son anything. My son owed him everything. But he just did it. Amen. Because we serve a gracious God. Amen. You had some stuff going on in your body. As a matter of fact, when that report came about how bad off you was, you ain't supposed to be here today. This guy that's singing up here today ain't supposed to be alive today. He was supposed to be pushing daisies years ago. Can you, if you don't know what that means, you're doing this from down there. Can you say amen? Listen to me. But he's not in the ground. He's not in the grave. Satan hasn't taken his soul. Hasn't wrapped him up and blinded him and put him in a prison he can't get out of. God brought him out. God opened his eyes. God touched his body. Amen. And he's singing his love for Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if you're excited about any of this stuff or not. I get excited when prayers get answered and God works miracles. Excuse me for being excited this morning. I can't help but be excited. My dad's alive on my back porch. Hallelujah. God is a gracious God, a mighty God. And through faith in his name, this man has his perfect soundness before you all. Why, look at us, that by our power, how are they claiming power today? Through their anointing, it all flows. No, it's through God's anointing on them. God is still the agent doing the work. Can you say, man? There's no such thing as a faith healer. There's only one healer, and he has a name, Jehovah Rapha. Can you say, man, Jesus embodied all of those Old Testament names given to God because of his revealed character. They're all condensed into one name in the New Testament. Jehovah Sikinu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Rapha is Jesus of Nazareth. Can you say, man? Hallelujah! Glory to God! Oh, hallelujah! I love what the Lord is doing. I love what he's saying. And I'm glad the church isn't dead yet. Amen. Some of you looking at me this morning like, I don't know about this church. The choir didn't sing on time. And we didn't get a... We had a lady leave one time because she didn't get a bulletin. She said, I'm used to having a bulletin where I go to church. I thought, well, if we made a bulletin, we probably won't follow it. So what's the point of printing it, buying the paper, telling you what's going to happen, the Holy Ghost show up, and it's all off. Brother Bimbo, what time do you start preaching? When they're done singing. What time do you quit? When I'm done preaching. I know it's a scary thought to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day and not be looking at your watch so you could start thinking at the mall. Most people are out at a gnat's eyebrow of noon. And if they're not, they're ready to hunt for another preacher. Because don't you dare encroach on my time. I've been good enough to come here and show up. You get her on, you get her done. Can you say, man? And we wonder why we don't have revival. We got a great choir. We got a preacher with a PhD in theology. Amen. We don't have miracles. There are churches that have 10,000 people, and I wouldn't take my cat to if it was dying. Amen. Amen. Why? Because nobody in there could pray the prayer of faith. But the choir's glorious. There's a church down in Miami that's got a pipe organ that tossed $1 million. God ain't going to show up unless people worship him in spirit and truth. It don't matter what you play on that sucker. Can you say amen? Remember the Bourbon Street preacher preached down in New Orleans for years? He said, you can build your steeple so high. And they did that in South Florida, in the Miami area. The church that was built there a few years ago said, I want to find out what the highest, true story, what the highest steeple is in the archives of architecture in the city. And I want our steeple to be at least 18 inches to 2 feet higher than the highest steeple in town. Now, what do you think God cares about how high the steeple is? What point are we making? You know what the Lord said about himself? He said, the heavens are my throne. The earth is my footstool. And then he looked at us building stuff, quote unquote, for him. He said, where's the house you'll build me? Amen. What can contain me? The earth's my throne. I rest my feet on your world. Where's the house that can contain me? But listen to this carefully. It's verifying what we said earlier. To whom will I look? Even to him that is, look at that centurion, a humble and contrite heart who trembleth at my word. I'll come to him. Can't build anything glorious enough for me to even give a nod. But if you've got a heart of humility, a heart of surrender, a heart of reverence, I'll come to that heart. Isn't that incredible that you can have that kind of heart today? Actually, the building is where the temple comes to worship. Your body. Everybody say, my body. Is the what? Is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God wants to be a lot more in your life than just a church religious experience. He wants to be real. He wants to be relevant. He wants to be acknowledged as who he is. And he wants to be acknowledged for where he is in relation to us. Can you say amen? God is so good today. We're in the last of the last days. And because the love is going to wax cold, the church is going to have to absolutely entertain people to get them to come. You better have a lot of good music. You didn't entertain me today. You did more than that. Amen. I worship God. I felt love for God through your singing today. Amen. I didn't come here to be entertained. I came here to worship God. Amen. Because the Lord seeketh such to worship him that worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't know what you're looking for today. I'll never be satisfied until I see the revival that God wants to send us. I believe it's going to be grassroots. I believe it's not going to come through an individual because everybody, amen, has somewhere went into pride or failure and somewhere not what they seem to be to begin with. Amen. Many false prophets shall come and deceive a few as an aberration. No, many. And because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And when people's love for God waxes cold, the cross don't draw people to worship. Don't stimulate them to come to church. You better find other stimulants to give them. Amen? Because the cross don't do it anymore. Don't cut it anymore. But you preach the cross in China, and they'll come by the droves to bow before the cross and give God the honor. Amen? Preach the cross in Russia. People get saved in spite of Marxism and communism. And they are. Can't give out Bibles in the University of South Florida campus. But you can give them out at the University of Moscow in Red Square. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? I can't go down there and hand out Bibles. They'll take me away. But you can give them out. See, the good thing is, we're living epistles. Read, written and read of all men. Those young people on the campus, through Campus Crusade and others that I've ministered to, been my privilege to minister to, they can go on the campus and they can live and let their light shine for Christ. Amen. You don't have to give them the book when you've got the book in shoe leather. Amen. Just thought I'd run that by you. Because God is moving on the campus of the University of South Florida. Amen. Thank the Lord he is. Thank the Lord that he does. Amen. Now, there was a prophecy, and we're going to close with this, but there was a prophecy given here. I will bring them several times from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I thought when we landed here, we would have an explosive growth immediately. Didn't happen. God had a plan that he didn't show us. Sean said, the latter part, through the anointing, the latter part of your ministry shall be greater than the former. And I keep waiting. I said, okay, Lord. I was going to go over and get Sean and say, Sean, what's up with that? No, I believed it because it was in my heart. He just confirmed what was in my heart. Listen, you know how he's done it? He's done it through the media. There's no way I could preach in South Korea. But I am. They're downloading sermons in the UK. Hallelujah. Hollywood, California. Washington, D.C. Wow. And now, after podcast was put on there, 70 people in less than 30 days, or about 30 days today, actually. 30 days, 70 people are downloading from podcast. So, he's bringing them from not the north, south of Tampa, east and west. There's mega churches in the city all over the place. Listen, how's he bringing them? He's bringing them on a grander scale than Tampa. I would rather have the gospel go all the way to where God is sending it than just have 150 people here. Are you listening to me? Because he's sending it to places we've never heard of, could never go ourselves, but he's sending his word. And he's sending it through a little radio. You've been to the radio station? It's a little house thing, isn't it? It's not a big fancy radio station with a big tower with big wattage. I don't know how many watts it is. But it's not the station. It's the fact that it's connected to the World Wide Web. And this gospel is going into the nations of the world. And we have, at this point, after 3 years, because of the hits on our internet, we've got an international ministry from this little church. That is absolutely incredible and mind-boggling and mind-blowing. Then you say amen. But God's done it. Hallelujah. So the testimonies that come out of here are touching somebody in places we never heard of. I'll tell you this as we close when we went on the air. We claim to Scripture. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. Can you say amen? He sent His Word. We didn't promote it. He sent it. And He sent it where He wanted it to go. And I believe in the weeks and months to come, we're going to hear a lot more about what has happened. But a lot of this, I think as Sean or Doug pointed out, a lot of this, we're not even going to know till we get to heaven. Till I get to heaven. And somebody comes running down Glory Avenue and says, I heard the gospel under the anointing in my nation. And I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Thank you, preacher, for being faithful. And thank you, congregation, for supporting the ministry and just being faithful in the little things. You know, I kept waiting on that ruler over many, because I haven't missed church except for vacation in almost 37 years. You don't come in on Sunday and say, Brother Venable got the honky flu. He ain't coming in today. Brother Venable will be here with the honky flu. I notice not many people come for prayer when I come in that way. But anyway, I just have there's something in my heart that says until I can't, absolutely, because there's so many phony excuses. And I figure if I get in the house of God and get under the anointing, amen, I can get healed here. Amen. I can either sit at home and groan and moan, or I can come to church where the anointing's flowing. Amen. So I choose to come where the anointing's flowing. Amen. If I could drag in here, I'm going to be here. Praise God. Amen. Brother, remember how we know if you're sick? You probably won't. When the anointing hits me, you can't tell. It's when it lifts that you can tell. Amen. And it lifts about halfway between here and Plant City. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes it don't lift all the way home. Poor Pamela. She hears it here, hears it all the way home. She said, honey, church is over. I love the Lord and I love your preaching, but church is over. Okay. Thank you for balancing me, Lord. I need my voice for the radio anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what they call me? Lovingly, Thunder Lips. Years ago, because I preached under the anointing, we were all getting these Indian names after we saw, what was it, Dances with Wolves or something. A bunch of people saw that and gave each other Indian names. I remember Patty asking Pamela, said, what do you think? Have you got an Indian name yet? She said, no. She said, mine is a tired woman. Instead of walks for a woman, it's tired woman. I forget what Pamela's Indian name was. But they gave me my Indian name, Thunder Lips. And I guess by now you understand why. Can you say amen? This is my fifth closing. But I love the Lord. God is doing great things. We're living in the last of the last days. And I believe our God wants to distinguish himself by answering the prayers of his people and in a demonstration of his power. Can you say amen? Now, you don't take a pilgrimage to Israel to go to an empty tomb. You can go there. I'd like to go there. But that's not what convinces me. If I never go there, I'm convinced that Jesus is resurrected. So when they were threatened, they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that we may speak thy word with boldness by stretching forth thine hand and to heal, and that signs and wonders be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed like that, the place wherein they were gathered was shaken. Can anything shake you today? Have you been in religion so long nothing can move you? Are you just watching the spectacle of me getting excited? Does that entertain you today? Do you have a heart that there's anything that flames up in from time to time? Are you so comfortable in your religion that the flame and the fire is gone? You don't want to go to a dead church because it's boring. You want to come to one where the anointing is, but you got to do more than watch me, darling. Amen. Can you say, man? There needs to be some flame in your own heart.
Amen.
See, you may need a miracle someday.
That's right.
Wouldn't it be nice to know that he's still in the business?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice to know it's happening here and now?
Yes.
Isn't it nice to know you don't have to drive 1,000 miles to get in a service where God's moving?
Yes.
That he's answering prayer right here. Amen. Honoring the fact that we're here in his name.
Yes.
To make that long story just a little bit longer. And with great power gave the apostles witness to what they could never be convinced any other way, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It distinguished the Christian faith from all the other so-called faiths, because this God answers prayer. This God healed his people. This God delivers the captive like he did my son. Somebody give this God praise today. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you're listening by radio and you've listened to this point in this sermon, in the name of Jesus Christ, we beseech you in his stead to give your heart and your life to him. To bow to no other, but to come to Christ. And what you can't do in yourself, you can do through Jesus Christ. We love you today. We're glad to know this gospel is being sent to you, not by us, but by God himself. This is not our deal. God has set this up because of his great love for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God is an incredible God. Amen. Would you just, did I give you that tape? Number one, if you will. I want us to.